Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt, als wär's ein Rhythmus, als gäb's ein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hallo und willkommen zu Gegenpressing, der Bundesliga-Podcast. I'm Manu Feit, hier ist Stefan Bienkowski. Und Stefan, a little bit of a different format this week.
Yes, very different format because it seems like everything is getting done this week. so we are having to adapt. This is technically a preview show. We'll do our best to try and review some of the big games for the weekend, but I think we've decided what we're going to do is this will preview the midweek games, as they say in Germany, the English Woche. And what we will then do is we'll have the normal transfer roundup show for subscribers, and then what would be the bonus show for this week will stick out for all subscribers, and we'll just do that as a kind of big bonus review show thing of the weekend's games, these midweek games, and that'll probably be our last show of the year. Actually, we've realized, because obviously next week is Christmas, and that kind of hocus pocus year period between Christmas and New Year's where nothing gets done and everyone forgets what day it is, and no one probably listens to many podcasts either. So just to kind of clarify, preview show today, transfer roundup show for subscribers on Wednesday, and then on Thursday we'll put out a big kind of end of the year show.
Yeah, and then the normal Substacks this week too, but obviously next week as well. Both you and I will take a deserved break, I think, it's from the rest of the week. So just keep that in mind. We'll be back then on a normal schedule. I know in Scotland you have January 2nd off, which just seems extremely unfair, Stefan.
Yeah, I'm off till the 4th.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's tradition in Scotland to have the 1st and the 2nd off, I think. I think it changes once you go across the border, because I know Hogmanay, as we call it, or New Year's Eve, isn't actually that big a deal in England. But it's a big deal in Scotland, it would seem.
It should be. It should be a big deal. Should be a big deal everywhere. Anyways, we have lots to discuss, so let's jump into it right after this break. This episode of the Gegenpressing Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. All the major sports are in action this week, with college football playoffs ready to kick off. BetOnline is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info, including news for pro football, the NBA, upcoming fights, and NHL games this season. Head to the website today to get into the action and see all the updated odds for the week. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, BELIEVE, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Stefan, I guess a little bit of a different format. It is Englische Woche, which is an odd term because it dates back from the time when German football kind of introduced floodlight games, right, which allowed them to play kickoff late midweek. And floodlights and these midweek fixtures were invented in England first, or so at least the Germans believed, and that's why it's called an Englische Woche. Which is kind of cool, I guess, that we call it that, and it is a nod to the history of the game, which originates on the British Islands, right? Whether it's England or Scotland, you guys can fight over that. I'm staying way away from that. but it is an Englische Woche. I think the way we're going to do it, we're going to talk about the individual games the way we've always done it. And then when we talk about the bigger games, and we each have picked a match of the week, right? You picked Dortmund against Mainz, I believe, and I've picked Union against Köln. When we get to those, we'll expand to that. And then, of course, when we get to some of the other games like Bayern, Leverkusen, Frankfurt, etc., or Stuttgart, we can talk a little bit of what happened on the weekend. I know it is a little bit odd, a different format. It's just how we have to deal with Germany trying to cram everything into the last week before Christmas, Stefan, which is exactly what our work has been doing too.
Yeah, it's quite common. And it's a bit of a shame because it means that basically the year finishes up on this somewhat undermined fixture or this match day. Where a lot of people will obviously be working. It might entirely pass most people by. I reckon most people listen to this podcast probably weren't even aware that there were games this during the week. They probably assumed they'd be finished up on Saturday. But alas, here we are. And yeah, I think one of the reasons we want to do it as well is because, as we'll probably find out as we go through these fixtures, a lot of the games will kind of obviously follows straight on, both literally but also in terms of a narrative, from what happened at the weekend. So it gives us an opportunity to kind of reference what happened at the weekend, talk about it briefly, and then kind of predict what will happen in the coming days.
Absolutely. And we'll start with Werder against Leipzig. Stefan, this was one of the talking points in the Monday bulletin. That is Leipzig, right? Emil Forsberg now officially going to leave Leipzig in January. What a way to go out. He goes or comes on in the 66th minute. 6 minutes later, he scores what turns out the winner against Hoffenheim, right? At that point, everyone kind of knew. And with the final whistle, I got the email from the New York Red Bulls that they had signed him. Obviously, they coordinated this well. I think no one expected it to end this way in such spectacular fashion. Emil Forsberg has played 324 games for Leipzig, Stefan. He's going to be a huge loss for them. He's going to be available for this game, obviously, but he's going to be a huge loss for them when he does leave. There were some really odd rumors about Jadon Sancho potentially going to Leipzig, which has been shut down already. Something for the transfer show, I guess. But this is Emil Forsberg's last game in the Bundesliga, presumably. And we saw against Hoffenheim how much he can still contribute. It's going to be a huge, huge loss for them. A hard player to replace. I understand he's going to come back and work for the club in some other capacity when he does come back. And this is all about his, I guess this is sort of like an apprenticeship for him in MLS, yada, yada, yada. But still a hard thing to replace. Regardless, he's available for this. Naby Keita in the headlines today too, whether he's going to play in this or not, we'll see. I have this as a narrow Leipzig win, Stefan. I went for 2-1, and I wouldn't even be surprised if it was Forsberg that pops up for the winner.
The last game was just hugely fitting for him, and yeah, again, it's something we've discussed recently on the transfer roundup shows, because it's not exactly been a secret that he was leaving, but it does, as you pointed out in the Monday Bulletin newsletter, there's certainly a strong case that they could keep him, and they might well need to keep him. And it's probably no coincidence that following on from that, Leipzig have been getting very speculative links to forwards all over Europe, Jadon Sancho in particular. But yeah, in terms of this actual game, I think it's going to be a really interesting match, actually, because, you know, Werder Bremen haven't actually been that bad recently. They've only lost two of the last seven games. Their home record in particular is quite impressive. And, you know, they've just been perhaps a little unfortunate with the manner in which the results have come about. You know, you obviously look at that league table, it doesn't look very impressive. I think that draw against Gladbach last weekend was probably one of those results that doesn't really suit anybody. But they're coming up against a Leipzig side who've seemingly gone over their hump in terms of the recent kind of inconsistency. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're now chasing 5 wins in a row. And I completely agree with you. I think Bremen have been quite decent. I think they've been decent at home. I think it should be a good contest. But there is just something that makes me think Leipzig will probably have just enough to get past Bremen here. So I've also gone for a 2-1.
Yeah, I actually almost picked this as my match of the week because I actually think this is going to be a really good game to watch. But no, I picked something different. Anyways, the next one is your match of the week. And Dortmund, we asked this question, Stefan. Is Champions League Dortmund going to show up or Regionalliga Dortmund? And it turned out it was Regionalliga Dortmund against Augsburg, 1-1 draw. This is your match of the week. I know that there is going to be so many questions for the Dortmund side going into the winter break. Edin Terzic, of course, some doubts about him in the media today, with players complaining about him supposedly to Sebastian Kehl. What do you think here? This is a must-win game for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this match day will probably be one in which just about everyone's keeping one eye on the Westfalenstadion to see what happens in this game. Dortmund, after that 1-1 draw against Augsburg, are actually in their longest run without winning a game in 5 years. It's now stretched to 5 games. And there's been a huge amount of speculation over Terzic's future after that draw. You know, Sport Bild reporting today that they think that his job's more or less still safe for now, but they do note that Sebastian Kehl possibly chose his words carefully after the Augsburg game, and he said, you know, something along the lines of, well, you know, everything's fine, but at the end of the day, you have to win games. Only victories help, is actually the words he used. Which might be a kind of thinly veiled hint or perhaps even threat to Terzic that, look, at the end of the day, you might be the teacher's pet in the boardroom and, you know, you might be the anointed one by the yellow wall, but none of that matters if you can't win games. And I think this Mainz game is probably one that could potentially slip up Dortmund. And if they don't win this game, I think it's going to be a very, very, very difficult winter for Terzic. Luckily, they do tend to have fortune on their side when they play home games. They are missing some big players. Karim Adeyemi was ruled out for a couple of weeks after he picked up an injury in the Augsburg game. But if I'm not mistaken, they've actually only lost 2 games since last August at home. You know, most recently that PSG game was the one that kind of showed that they do still have an ability to kind of play well in front of their own fans. So I think this is going to be a game with a huge amount of pressure on Terzic and the team. It's a game which they'll have to win, probably quite convincingly, to stop the fans from, you know, really piling on the team and the coach. But I think it's one they'll probably win, not convincingly by any means. I think they'll probably win it quite narrowly. So I've actually gone for 2-1 win here for Dortmund.
Which is hilarious. That's exactly what I went with, Stefan.
2 out of 2 so far.
Yeah, 2 out of 2. Maybe just going through some of these reports. As you were narrating here, the reports, Marlon Ehlbacher from Sky, basically reporting that the players are not happy with Terzic's defensive approach. Patrick Berger, Sky, as now Sky, previously Sport 1, basically chiming in with a similar information. Sommer and Watzke still continue to give Terzic the full backing, even though players aren't happy with him. Then finally, Plettenberg, also from Sky. Sky has signed everyone. They're like worse than Bayern Munich. They are all reporting that Oliver Glasner is a candidate should Edin Terzic not continue. I think that would be a good appointment. to be honest with you, Stefan. You know, maybe something that we can go deeper into in the transfer show, but I don't think I would hate that.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You never know. I mean, and this is the kind of speculation that will only kind of echo throughout the stadium and the football forums and things over the course of Christmas if they don't pick up a result here. And it's kind of getting to the point where, you know, it's if they don't win here and, you know, say they get a draw, that means they're probably finishing the year sitting in fifth place, what, 15 points off first place. A squad of discontent, and you kind of wonder if he gets to the point where, like, maybe she's just kind of put Terzichev's misery at that point, because they're just simply not going anywhere. But it's why it's my game of the week, because it's the one I'll be glued to see what happens. And yeah, it probably won't change much in terms of speculation, but it'll probably change whether Terzic has to pick up his P45 before Christmas or not.
I think once reports surface that you've lost the dressing room, and knowing how these reports surface, it's essentially players talking to players and the agents talking to media, right? Ooh, that's a hard place to come back from. Really difficult if you're a head coach. But we'll see. Up next, Hoffenheim against Darmstadt. I actually thought that Hoffenheim played quite well on the weekend, despite losing to Leipzig. Obviously, there was so much emotion there with Forsberg coming on and then popping in and scoring that winner, right? Up to that point, Hoffenheim played really well. And I actually think that, you know, they will be just fine and rebound here and beat Darmstadt 2-0, Stefan.
Yeah, I've also got 2-0.
That's yeah. 3 out of 3.
Yeah, I mean, I think this one's a lot easier to predict than the first two, to be honest. I actually had, if I'm not mistaken, I think I had Hoffenheim to cause a bit of an upset against Leipzig. It sounds like they were close to doing that, as you said, until Forsberg came on and won the day. But yeah, Darmstadt are a completely different outfit. They've now gone 8 games without a win, I think, in the Bundesliga. And very quickly beginning to resemble kind of relegation fodder. They'll be kind of praying to get to the end of this match day where they can regroup and maybe try and, you know, hammer out some plans for the Rückrunde, because it's really worrying, and particularly on the road as well. So yeah, I think Hoffenheim have actually played better away from home this season. So, you know, never say never in terms of an upset here, but I think the odds are certainly in favor of Hoffenheim for this match.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, up next is my match of the week, and that's Union Berlin against Köln. I was surprised how easily Bochum won this game on the weekend against Union, 3-0, the final score. Big, 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 big result for Bochum. By the way, we're now in 13th with 16 points. Fortunately for Union Berlin, though, Stefan, all the teams below them also drop points, Köln, Mainz, Darmstadt, right? Which actually sets this up as a huge fixture. This is one of these, and you know, I would have to put in €2 into the Phrasenschwein at the Sport 1 Doppelpass for saying this, but this is a 6-pointer. It really is. And, you know, I am actually really looking forward to this game. And thankfully, it's actually at a separate kickoff time than the other Wednesday games. It's the 6:30 German time kickoff, right? So I can watch this separately and then probably watch a conference for all the other games that are going on that day, because there's some other ones that are interesting. But this one just promises drama. It promises the sort of storylines that you want in the relegation battle, right? And I think quality wise, because Köln really didn't convince me either. This is another game that I watched on the weekend. I actually watched all the Sunday games, and I watched the game against Freiburg. And Freiburg, although it took them, I think, until the 70th minute to finally put them to the sword, it never really seemed like that they're going to lose that game. And you know what? I think Union Berlin are going to win this game. Although I went for a very narrow 2-1 win here.
Yeah, I've also gone for a 2-1 win, actually.
Oh, my God, it's 4-4.
Yeah, I also watched the Cologne game against Freiburg. I struggled to stay awake throughout it, to be honest. It was a one-sided affair. I think I wrote in the newsletter on Monday that it was, you know, two goals going on 5 or 6. Freiburg obviously had a huge number of chances. They hit the bar at one, or the post at one point as well. And yeah, I just don't know what to make of Cologne right now. They just seem entirely hopeless. They seem bereft of any kind of attacking intent. They're the lowest goal scorers in the Bundesliga this season. And, you know, I was reading Stefan Baumgart's quotes after the game, and he said, oh, you know, I was encouraged because they ran harder and tackled harder and put more effort in. And I thought, it read like a quote from a coach 20 years ago or something. You know, it felt a little too old school for me. And that just seems to be the issue I have with Cologne these days. They don't really seem like they've got any kind of ingenuity, no kind of innovation. Tactically, they're just very basic. And, you know, they're certainly in line with Darmstadt, in my opinion, as being like very, very, very close to being just clubs that make up the numbers. And we have seen that so far. In recent years, the Bundesliga, it's usually teams who get promoted and just aren't really up to the task. And, you know, that's fine. They go back down immediately. But this Cologne side seem like they're kind of quite happy to take up that mantle, especially if Mainz and Union Berlin do get their act together. And I suspect that might be the case. The only other thing I would mention here is that, you know, I wouldn't put too much into that Bochum result, because Bochum have been very good recently, particularly at home. But if Union can't get a win here against this Cologne side, then there might be some question marks as to what was the point in sacking Urs Fischer in the first place. Because
he did want to leave, though.
No, of course, sure. But it maybe suggests that it wasn't his fault if this new head coach comes in and can't beat Cologne at home, because that's probably the closest thing you're going to get to a winnable game at this stage in the season. So I've gone for a 2-1 win. I think it'll be a very tight game. But I think it'll be one that will just kind of compound Cologne's misery and make it for a very difficult Christmas for them.
I also think that you're way too kind to Stefan Baumgart there with saying those sounds like a statement made by a coach 30 years ago. It sounds more like a general reporting to the Kaiser during World War One, thinking the Western Front is still stable.
Wow, that's a reference. Yeah,
we're like, that's 100 years outdated, not 30. Sorry, but it's like you can also insert the dog meme, that, you know, the dog sitting in the burning home and a burning house.
Yeah. No, not about it.
I'm just not buying it. This current side has zero to no quality, and I wouldn't be shocked if they would go down or like play a relegation playoff against HSV and actually lose. That would be another thing that I could see happening here, but. Oh, well. Okay, so Leverkusen is next against Bochum. So just a few kilometers away from Köln, up the Rhine. They face Bochum, Stefan. And Leverkusen is so impressive, aren't they? That game against Frankfurt never seemed in doubt. It really was just about how many goals were they going to score at one point. I just think the manner of which they recovered from dropping points back-to-back, you know, something that Alonso was really unhappy about when I talked to him post-game after the Stuttgart match. It really seemed like they fixed that. I don't know how you feel about this, but this point, all signs for me point to a very convincing win before the winter break here. I went with a 3-0 win. I'm not sure what you think, but it just feels like Leverkusen are going to see out the year with a big result.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Yeah, I've gone for something similar. I've gone for a 2-0 win. I think Bochum have actually been really impressive recently, so I think they should give them a decent game. But I was really, really impressed with that Leverkusen side. I thought they really dispatched of a good Frankfurt team really professionally. You know, Frankfurt came out both halves really trying to kind of blitz Leverkusen, and it just didn't work. And it felt very much like a team pushing for the title against a team pushing for the top six, which might seem like, you know, semantics or something, but I think Leverkusen are so good they can show that gulf between them and a good Bundesliga side. And they certainly didn't show any signs of looking jaded or tired. So, yeah, I've gone for a very convincing 2-0 win against Bochum as well.
Yeah, I thought it was really impressive too, considering the midweek game against Molde, which they ended up winning 5-1 with the second outfit. there's just so many good tools on that team. Florian Wirtz, of course, continues to impress. Boniface scored a fantastic goal. Frimpong scored. The midfield looks so very impressive as well. I just don't see them being stoppable anytime soon. And it's just all very, very impressive what Alonso has done there. Very, very impressive. But Stefan, speaking of Frankfurt, they faced Gladbach. What do you think here?
This one was quite difficult to kind of predict, to be honest. I don't think Gladbach have been terribly bad so far, or recently rather. And Frankfurt have just kind of blown quite hot and cold, to be honest with you. They've got 1 win out of the last 5. Gladbach have got 2 wins and a draw in the last 5. This game just screams a draw to me, to be perfectly honest. I've gone for a 1-1 draw here.
Which is what I have too.
which, you know, doesn't really do anyone any favours. And I know Gladbach fans might be a little nervous finishing the year on, well, you know, just 5 points above 50th place. But I think they are slowly but surely turning things around. I feel like I've said that for the last couple of weeks now. Maybe Frankfurt might be able to put a little more in because they're at home. Last game of the year, I would be surprised if they did win it. But something just makes me think Gladbach will take something from this game.
Yeah, I went for a 1-1 draw too. I think both these teams are projects. This is why they blow hot and cold. Frankfurt really disappointed with their second outfit in Aberdeen. And then, of course, had this result against Leverkusen where they never had a chance. As much as they tried, it just didn't feel like there wasn't much in it. Of course, we now know that they're going to sign Donny van de Beek on loan, right, initially. There's an option to buy in this contract for 10 million euros. I think it's an interesting deal. I'm more than expected there will be other pieces coming in. They're kind of retooling here on the fly, right? So, you know, this Frankfurt side, I think, will look very different after the winter break. But as it is right now, just 1 win out of the last 5 games. Just, of course, that 5-1 win against Bayern, right, Stefan? Which is sort of usually the narrative that we use for Gladbach most years. When we see them play, usually their one big win comes against Bayern Munich. But, you know, That's how it is in the Bundesliga. There's certain teams that just like to smash Bayern Munich and then don't do anything else for the rest of the campaign. And those two teams will get to play each other on the weekend and see who comes out on top. But yeah, I went for a 1-1 draw. Speaking of Bayern Munich, they are in Wolfsburg. I was very intrigued about that game against Stuttgart. I have a ton of thoughts, but maybe before we get into that, what are your thoughts on this game here? Because I know you've written quite a bit about Wolfsburg this year, Stefan.
Well, you know, it's interesting you talk about two teams who like to have a go at Bayern, and Wolfsburg couldn't be further from that. Their head-to-head against Bayern is pathetic, to be honest with you. they picked up one win from the last 24 games against Bayern, and Niko Kovac actually went as far as to say this match is just a bonus game, which is something that really pisses me off, because I think it's something that a lot of clubs in the Bundesliga treat these matches against Bayern. Obviously, I think he's been able to say that because they picked up a really important 3 points against Darmstadt last weekend, and I kind of said as well going into that match day that was a really crucial 3 points for him, because if they didn't pick something up there, they would have probably gone into this game, Kovac in particular, thinking he had to get something, possibly to keep his job. The Wolfsburg hierarchy have kind of gone out of their way to say that's not going to happen, but you know, you never know. But those 3 points in their back pocket means they can go into this game without really any pressure, it would seem. And there are clubs who take these games against Bayern very seriously, Wolfsburg are not one of them. So yeah, I've gone for a very simple 2-0 win for Bayern here.
Yeah, I went for a 3-1 Bayern Munich win. The one thing that I'm curious about is how are Wolfsburg going to approach this game, because Bayern did beat Stuttgart on the weekend. And obviously we'll never know how it would have turned out if that early goal doesn't go in, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, that 3-0 result, I actually think flattered Stuttgart, even though Stuttgart dominated possession. At one point was 400 to 196 passes. This is after the first 45 minutes. I think they ended the game with 60% possession. And yet Bayern were the team that put away the goals. And it was almost like a reverse of what we usually see from Bayern Munich. And Stefan, I had this thought that I think the way Stuttgart played against Bayern suited Thomas Tuchel just fine. I think that is actually the way he wants his teams to play. I don't think he is a coach that wants to have the ball. I think he's a coach who likes to play defensive football, hit teams on the counter. And I think that's why this particular game, even though, you know, this is exactly how Sebastian Hoeneß wants to play, I think this game went exactly to his match plan. It's just something that suits Bayern really well. And then, of course, there was young Alexander Pavlovic, who looked very much like that holding six that Thomas Tuchel really wants to sign. And I think the way he's played in this game and against Heidenheim a couple of weeks ago, right, could maybe save the club in the region of 70 million euros if he develops right. So I don't know. It's just interesting. And so I wonder almost, because we've seen Frankfurt go against them where they basically gave Bayern Munich the ball and said, like, here's the ball, have fun. And then we had Stuttgart who basically said, we want to have the ball, and Bayern said, that's just great with us. It just seems like a paradigm shift overall for Thomas Tuchel and Bayern. Well, maybe not for Tuchel, but for Bayern.
It's not too dissimilar from the Terzic thing at Dortmund to an extent, where maybe he's more comfortable playing a kind of counter-attacking game. Look, I think a large part of that was obviously because they were missing both Kimmich and Goretzka. It was more of a kind of transitional side. Pavlovic obviously wasn't looking for the ball as much. And as you said, Stuttgart were just kind of willing to kind of take the game to them. It felt to me like a very naive Stuttgart performance, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought so too.
They either went into the match kind of thinking, let's just do what we want, it doesn't really matter if we win or not. Or they went in maybe a little overconfident, thinking we can play our game and take this match to Bayern. And for one reason or another, it didn't quite work out. I'm kind of willing to give them the benefit of the doubt to a large extent, because obviously, you know, they went into that game not too long after a really grueling match against Bayer Leverkusen, where they really, really did look exhausted by the end of that game. And, you know, any match against Bayern, you have to be your absolute best. So I think this match against Augsburg actually is going to be really, really tricky for Stuttgart. If you allow me to just kind of seamlessly
great transition.
Transition.
I was hoping you would go there.
because Augsburg have obviously been very good recently. They, you know, picked up a 1-1 draw against Dortmund, which we talked about. And, you know, it'll be fascinating to see how they play here, because they could either revert back to their usual style where they're like, okay, we're playing on our mid-table side. We can do what we do best and dominate and win this game. Or they might look a little tired again, which I did think they looked quite tired against Bayern. So there's a possibility here for Augsburg to pick up points against Stuttgart. The only thing that still kind of put this in Stuttgart's favour for me is the fact that Augsburg, despite looking better recently, are still so lackluster on the road. They've only picked up one win in their last 20 away matches, if I'm not mistaken, in the league, which is just crazy, considering their home form has been quite impressive. So I've gone for a very narrow 2-1 win here for Stuttgart, but I think Augsburg will make it very difficult for them.
It's funny, that's exactly the result I went with too. This is also a Swabian derby, obviously Augsburg being the capital of the Bavaria, Swabia, and Stuttgart being the capital of the Swaben in Baden-Württemberg. So this is a Swabian derby, I guess. This is going to be a really interesting game, I think. Serhu Gorassi just scored twice in the last 5 games since coming back in his injury. He had nothing against Bayern, right? Just wasn't able to come through at all. And I agree with you, the Stuttgart side did look tired. And I actually think that they, more than anyone else, want that winter break to come quickly, right? You know, get this game over with, go into the winter break. If they get 3 points from this, they are going to be in a really, really good position. You know, you look at the table now, they're sitting on 4th with 31 points, 5 points ahead of Dortmund, and they get something from this result, then, you know, they will be looking really comfortable going into the second half of the season. I went for a really narrow 2-1 win here. I just think they still have the tools to beat Augsburg. All right, that gets us to the last match on Wednesday, and that is Heidenheim against Freiburg. That's actually another derby, another Baden-Württemberg derby. I actually think this is going to be a pretty good game, because Freiburg looked good. Heidenheim have been looking pretty decent as well. Obviously, they beat Mainz, which is a big result for them in the relegation battle. Heidenheim look more like a mid-table side rather than a team that is worried about relegation. Freiburg now in the top 6. In recent weeks, Heidenheim have always looked really good at home, which is why I went for a 1-1 draw here, Stefan.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean, yeah. I think I've actually gone for the exact same thing, to be honest with you. So it must be like, what, 80% of games or something we're agreeing on here.
I think
it's
only two odd that we don't, yeah.
I think it's been a really fascinating match because, you know, I thought Freiburg were quite good against Cologne, but they were up against a really terrible Cologne side. And it did, as you said, it took them quite a while to break them down. I watched their 1-0 win over Wolfsburg the weekend before, and with all the respect to Freiburg, I don't actually think they deserved that. It was a bit of a smash and grab after Wolfsburg dominated the match. And then before that, it was a very slender 1-0 over Mainz, and then they were actually held to a draw against Darmstadt. So there's certainly a sense that, you know, while they've got 3 wins on the bounce, I think Christian Streich might be kind of sniggering to himself, thinking, wow, I can't believe we got away with that, to be perfectly honest with you. And, you know, traveling to Heidenheim and playing in front of their fans has been a real test for a lot of big Bundesliga sides this season. You know, they got 4 wins from 7 in the league. You know, they picked up a lot of home points, and I think they could cause a real problem for Freiburg. So I've also gone for a 1-1 draw here. Another thing that's also worth bearing in mind is that just keep an eye on, even though Freiburg are up to 6th, the goal difference is actually -4, and I don't have the expected goals numbers to hand, but I suspect and this is pure speculation, if you were to use that to kind of calculate their expected points, I would say Freiburg might be overperforming right now. And, you know, on a away trip to Heidenheim's a perfect opportunity for them to stuff that down my throat and say, no, we're not, we're a good team, here's 3 points. Or it's an opportunity to highlight what I suspect might be the case. So it'd be worth to keep an eye on. But yeah, I've gone for a draw here.
I have Freiburg's expected goals in front of me, and it's 25.7. And right. They've scored 9. So they're actually second last in the league with a minus 6.7. So fewer goals scored than expected. So
yeah,
they're actually underperforming next year.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
that might be because of the last. That could have been racked up last week against Cologne, I suppose, but we'll see.
Yes, this is true. Gladbach are actually sitting first. This is via the Bundesliga.com app, which uses AWS. Lots of different models out there to calculate this. So, grain of salt and all that, caveat, etc. But just to point that out, their shot efficiency not quite as good as their goal scoring suggests. But yeah. Anyways, Stefan, that rounds up the final match day before the winter break. This is not to determine the Herbstmeister or Wintermeister, depending on what you want to call. I guess it would be Wintermeister. Because we don't have that match day 17 until the next year. On January 2nd, 12th is when the Bundesliga comes back. So we'll find out then who's going to win the Wintermeisterschaft, I guess, whether that's going to be Leverkusen or not. I think they pretty much secured it. As always, this show is brought to you by BetOnline in association with Get German Football News. Any final thoughts before we wrap up our final preview show of the year?
Not a huge amount. I'll probably save them for the kind of recap show or the review show we do at the end of the week, but it's been a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to kind of looking back over the first half of the season. If we get a chance, if we have time, that is.
No, absolutely. The winter break should be interesting. There should be lots of transfer stories, etc. So, yeah, we get to have a little bit of a breather before we get into the nitty-gritty of the second half of the season. 2023 has been a blast. If I just wanted to point that out, it's been an absolute blast, and I really want to thank, and I'm going to thank them again, because obviously this is not the last show of the year, but the subscribers have been absolutely outstanding. We really appreciate the interaction, first and foremost, on the Substack chat. So if you haven't been seeing that yet, subscribers can interact with us directly during the match day, and that has been incredible. A lot of fun. And a lot of thoughtful comments as well. So thank you for everyone who subscribes. Thank you everyone who's listening to the show. We'll be back later this week. And until then, auf Wiedersehen.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.